Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Davis Rangy. We have Thursday night football tonight.
Indeed we do.
Bengals, Dolphins. Should be a good one. I know what I'm doing before the game. Heading over to the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You know why? Because football season is underway. So now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with the promo code OVERTIME. Now, we had made a same-game parlay yesterday, and Davis, you told me, pump the brakes a little bit on that.
Yeah, I found a video last night. The Dolphins were practicing at Cincinnati last night, and somebody, I don't know if it was a student, a Bengals scout, or whoever, they filmed, I think it was 12 of their plays and uploaded it to Twitter, and I'm sure they were sent to the Bengals staff. But, I mean, thank goodness they found it now because they at least had a day to kind of put some wrinkles in that and maybe change it up a little bit.
And, you know, one of the things I love about FanDuel is the odds boost they give. And they gave one today, and I'm going to go ahead and drop 10 on it. It's the Bengals -3.5, Ja'Marr Chase 1+ touchdown, Tyreek Hill 1+ touchdown, and Joe Burrow over 200 passing yards. $10 pays out 120 because it's boosted from +800 to +1200. I feel like that one's pretty safe.
Yeah, and I've got an interesting stat about this game. So, looks like the Dolphins kind of own the Bengals, including the playoffs. The Dolphins are 18-7 all time against Cincinnati, with the most recent meeting being a 19-7 Miami win in Week 13 of 2020. Miami's 72% winning percentage in this matchup is the team's highest against any AFC team, while it is the Bengals' lowest against any conference foe.
Yeah, FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Do one of the odds boosts like I just did. You can combine your bets for a chance for a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. With live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started and get paid your winnings fast. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up today with promo code OVERTIME for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code OVERTIME. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline. 1-800-889-9789. Yeah, I really like that odds boost. I feel like, you know, sometimes you look at them, it's like, Now that one I looked at and I'm like, yeah, I can hammer this one. For sure. Somebody is really loving that motorcycle outside.
Oof. Are we going to touch the college game tonight? We got South Carolina playing against South Carolina State at the top of the hour, about 55 minutes from now.
That we do. I mean, that's going to be, I mean, should be.
Should be a
blowout. However, this is college football, and there are no guarantees in anything, really, after week one.
No, and I'm looking at the spread right now. It is massive. It is South Carolina is favored by 39.5.
Do you think they cover? That's a lot of points to cover.
It is. I mean, if you really want to get into it tonight, I mean, you've got the over-under at 57.5. If you want to be bold and take a swing at the South Carolina State money line, you're currently looking at +2,500 odds.
I'm not that brave. Not that brave. South Carolina State is 1-2 on the year. South Carolina, of course, splitting their games. And then the one that I'm most interested in this weekend, as far as SEC play is concerned, is not actually Kentucky Ole Miss. It's actually Texas A&M and Mississippi State. Mississippi mm-hmm. State, the 4-point favorite. Unranked Mississippi State, 17th ranked, Texas A&M.
I had a little argument with my buddy last night. He goes to Mississippi State. He thinks they're going to win, but I don't know. I think, me personally, I think A&M's going to win. I mean, they lost to Mississippi State last year after they beat Alabama, like 90% sure. So they're looking for a little get back, and I think they just ride that momentum from that huge win over Arkansas last week into Saturday and come out with a victory.
Yeah, and I mean, the goalposts at Jerry World were just high enough to save A&M last week.
I can't even – that is the most Tennessee – even though it didn't happen to us, thank goodness, the most Tennessee way to lose.
Yeah, I don't think you could really come up with anything worse than that, could you?
No, I was just thinking if Medley in 2015 at Florida, if that ball had hit the goalpost like that and went down, I would have passed out. I almost did, but
I thought that one was good.
I did too.
Like the second one, obviously. Now the first one that I can't remember if we called timeout or if we got a penalty. I think we got a penalty. Did we not?
On that kick, we did, yeah. Because that moved him back, and he probably would have hit it from. It was a 5-yard penalty, false start. I think so. Yeah. What are we doing? Oh,
it's over. But the Florida game, we've already won.
I know.
We don't have to talk about that anymore. We can. We can sit here and gator chomp all week because we won the game. Matter of fact, we were up by a lot. They just came back on us. Unfortunately, that's just the way she goes.
Unfortunately.
But right now, you know, we got NFL football tonight. We've also got kind of a snoozer with South Carolina, South Carolina State. Getting closer to basketball. Getting really close to basketball. I'm really excited about that.
Absolutely. Not only NBA, but college. And our UT team, man, we're looking really good for this coming up year. I know we lost Chandler, but I have full faith that we'll replace him and it'll be all right. I think we're kind of being disrespected because I saw in one poll we were like 18th or 19th. I think we're at least top 15. I mean, you got to give us that.
Yeah, the one poll I saw, they had the basketball team ranked at 19th. The other one had us at 9th, and it's like, okay, well, why do you have us at 9th? Well, because of what you got coming in. Okay, well, why does this poll have us at 19th? Well, because of what you have going out. It's like, well, it's the way she goes. We'll find out when the time comes. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, and let's go to Phil. What's up, Phil?
Marty Slay, Jake Smith.
Phil A.
I'm glad y'all talking Tennessee basketball instead of talking Kentucky football.
Well, Phil, it's one of those things. I love some basketball.
Well, you're a Tennessee fan, not a Kentucky fan.
Well, that's true, too. And I'm not going to lie. When Tennessee's not playing football, I kind of – take a step back and I watch some basketball. Watch some basketball on TV, watch the replays on YouTube, go pull out the PlayStation, play some basketball games. Just kind of in a basketball mood right now, Phil.
Phil, I got some more recruiting news for you.
All right.
4-star shooting guard Jaden Juke Harris is set to visit the Alabama weekend. He is a 4-star shooting guard. He's top 10 in state of North Carolina. He's looking at Houston, Virginia, Virginia Tech, A&M, NC State, South Florida, and us.
Do you know anybody that recruiting for the 23 classes? We need our guard bad for next year.
No, we're going to have one.
Yeah.
I don't know of any right off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
Although Freddie DeLone's, he's I don't know if he'll start, but he'll be the first one off the bench next year, wouldn't you think?
I would think so. I mean, and that might be a good role for him starting out and, you know, maybe mold into one of those roles, kind of like Triple J has, yeah, or somebody like that.
Yeah, and that I saw where that DJ Jefferson was looking good in practice a couple of days ago, and Russell said he can't play. So I guess that means he can play then, don't it?
I guess the one thing that kind of bothers me, Phil, is, you know, Rick Barnes kind of likes to take on projects. And we saw, I guess it would have been the 2020 season, you had a lot of projects on the team. And when you have too many projects, what is your team? Your entire team's a project. And I just hope we don't go back to that.
No, I can take one project a year, but the rest of them got to be guys that are, you know, highly recruited and ready to go.
Phil, they are recruiting for 23. Silas DeMary Jr., he's a combo guard, 6'4", 180. He does have two crystal balls at NC State, though.
Well, I mean, he's going to make a decision here pretty soon. And Tennessee's not going to get him. So they need to go out and recruit another wing player, though, because you only going to have five guards on their team, what they got now.
That's about all they're going to have. And I just hope, too, that we kind of get in a cycle. It's like, you know, yeah, we want guys that can play at the collegiate level, but I want to take it a step further, Phil. I want guys that can play at the NBA level. Same way in football. I don't want guys to just play at the collegiate level. I want guys that can play in the NFL.
Well, it's all about, you know, it's all about the Jimmies and Joes in football and basketball. That's the way it is.
That's all it is. Now we just got to pony up with the money to get them that NIL deal that they're
Well, we got a good NIL. It's just you got to invest it in the right spots, though. You know what?
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I feel like the football team were doing the right thing with Nico investing in quarterback. But I'm not so sure that he's going to start next year, Phil. I think Joe Milton is going to end up being your starter next year, especially game one.
I wouldn't be surprised either. And you look at it, Tennessee is going to have to go in the portal or get somebody that transfer from another school. We need help on the offensive line at the left tackle, at the right tackle position, because you're going to lose that real good right tackle.
Yep.
And then you need – of course, they'll get receivers. I mean, who wouldn't want to play in this offense? They need to go out and get them a stud running back. Mm-hmm. And they need to go out and get one great – somebody can start in that defensive line. And they need the secondary. I'd sign as many DBs as you can. Of course, they already got six guys committed for next year on the secondary, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's about right. They got five or six. Now, one of the things that you just mentioned, Phil, the transfer portal – something I'm doing is I'm watching everyone that enters the portal from Texas A&M, because you know a lot of those kids are not happy right now with the reps they're getting, the playing time they're getting. They're not happy with it right now. And
yeah,
that's something that we – I mean, I hate to just be like, let's go get them. I mean, we got to keep eyeing that like a hawk. If one of those guys enters the transfer portal, you've got to be in their text messages or their DMs that day.
A&M got another five-star last night, so I don't know what they're doing down there, but it's working.
Well, they got money. They got the old money. Has Nolan played any in that Texas A&M yet?
He's played a little bit. He's not played a lot.
Huh. Well, he'd probably get a lot more playing time to come here, wouldn't you think?
He'd almost be an immediate starter next year, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, but you look at it right now. I mean, Rodney Garner's, he's the best coach they have on the defensive side of the ball, and he takes nothing and makes a primary about it.
Oh, exactly. He takes chicken crap and turns it into chicken salad. I mean, that's just what he does.
There you go. Yeah. It's really amazing what he's done. I mean, Amari Thomas, has he got another year eligibility?
He's a junior,
he's a junior, so he's got one, maybe two more years.
And I like what they're doing on the edge rushers, and they've got a couple, two or three committed on that. So all they need to really do is get one big guy inside, and they need the defensive backs is what we need to turn the thing around, you know?
I mean, that's the thing is, if you just get two elite-level defensive backs, that changes the entire landscape of your secondary. Now, you don't need four elite. I mean, you can go two elite, two good, but we just got to get rid of bad. And right now, I feel like we just got a bunch of mediocre defensive backs.
Yeah, that's what we had. They were mediocre last year, and they're mediocre. I mean, as much as we ripped Burrell, I mean, at least he could tackle them. Probably need him back there. Just saying, he can tackle those people that are wide open in the secondary, you know?
Well, I mean, that's something we talked about earlier in the week is, you know, we were talking about how Kamal Haddon's probably the best defender in the secondary that you've got, and then he comes out and misses one tackle on that one play.
Then
he just tries to strip the ball on a second tackle. It's like, guys, come on, what are we doing? Wrap up and tackle.
Yeah.
Fundamental football.
What do y'all think about the Arkansas-Alabama? You think Alabama's going to blow Arkansas out of their own stadium?
I think that's pretty much what's going to happen.
That'll happen.
What about Lane Kiffin and the great Kentucky Wild, Russell's favorite team, Kentucky?
I think Kentucky might come out of there with a win. I kind of like that Kentucky money line on that game if you're a betting man.
I tell you what, I like Lane Kiffin to beat him, don't you?
I'm kind of swaying that way too, Phil. I thought Kentucky at first, but I might have to go with Lane.
I mean, Lane, you know, he's ripping Ole Miss fans and doing everything he can. He's probably wanting their job somewhere, you know.
That's pretty much what we come to the conclusion of yesterday, is he's making all those comments because he's either wanting out or already has plans to get out.
If I was Auburn, that's who I'd hire. Of course, you know who Auburn's going to hire.
Who are they going to hire? Hugh Freeze?
Deion Sanders. What do you think?
Oh, man, that's –
good luck to him.
Isn't that beautiful?
Good luck.
Well, I mean, you have Buck Pearl and Deion Sanders. I mean, what else? And that'd be the most beautiful thing you ever seen going on down there.
Oh, it would.
The NIL goes to an all-time level in football, wouldn't it?
It would. I mean, here's the thing, Phil, is if for some reason Jamie Chadwell got that job, I might have to put on some orange and navy blue.
Well, Jamie Chadwell's going – he ought to just wait around and get him a real good job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's my guy there, Phil, old Campbell County native.
Well, he – I mean, look what he's done. He's been a winner in two places, hasn't he?
He has, and the thing with his situation, Phil, is he's kind of living every Campbell County man's dream right now. It's like you grow up, you get out of Campbell County, and then you go live at the beach, whether that be Panama City or Myrtle Beach. And he's making $1 million a year doing it. That's the Campbell County dream.
Well, I guess all we need now is get you down to Miami. You make $1 million a year, you know?
That's all I need.
And then let us hear Jake the Snake doing sports down there. He's more beautiful, you know?
That'd be a dream come true. I'd rather be in the booth for the Vols, but now we know that'll never happen.
Well, I appreciate y'all letting me talk today because Russell cut me off for ripping Kentucky. And, I mean, I hate that Russell's a turncoat and likes Kentucky more than Tennessee, you know?
Well, Phil, I mean, like you said, keep it callers first and I'll be successful. And I've done it, and I feel like I've got a pretty good ship running here.
I think you do, too. But I got to give credit to Barry Bryant still hanging in there with him, you know?
Classic Phil doing his thing. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Here on Overtime Fan Run Radio. Don't talk a lot of pro baseball on here, but Aaron Judge hit his 61st home run of the season.
Yeah, and
that is incredible.
Passing Roger Maris, and do you see the video of the guy that dropped it?
No.
So the ball, it wasn't like way in the stands. It hit like right the separation between the bullpen and the front row, and the ball was like, oh, he reached forward and missed it. Like, man, if that was me, I'm doing anything possible. I'm jumping in that bullpen to get that ball because the amount of money you can get from that ball and the leverage you have once you have it.
Oh, I'm surprised that Zach Hample wasn't there to get it. I can't stand that guy.
Who?
You don't know who Zach Hample is?
No.
So the guy's name is Zach Hample. He has a YouTube channel. His backstory is that he went to a game with his dad when he was younger and he didn't catch a home run or a foul ball. He made it his life's work that he was going to grab every home run ball that he could ever grab. The thing with it is he will leave his seat and basically like reach over kids basically to rob them of getting a home run ball. So it's almost like defeating the purpose of why he did it in the first place, right?
All right.
He has a collection, I kid you not, about, it might be 10,000 baseballs. And some of these, like one of them was, what was the monumental home run for?
Pujols?
No, it's for A-Rod. He caught that one. And he refused to give it up. A-Rod wanted the ball. As a lot of these guys do, right?
Right.
And he was offering, like, I'll trade you bats, I'll trade you this, I'll trade you that. And he eventually gives the ball to him, like, 2 weeks later after all the media pressure, and he got, like, an interview on NBC and ESPN and all this crap. But he's got videos on his channel of him getting these home run balls and it being like the player's first ever, like,
career home run.
Exactly. And security will be like, hey, that's his first home run. Can we have that? No, I'm not giving it up. No, I'm not giving it up. Okay, I'll do it if he trades me a bat.
Those people are the worst. But at the same time, I mean, you do have leverage. Like, I saw another thing. I think it was the Toronto Blue Jays. That's who they played last night. He got the ball once it came in the bullpen, and he just gave it back. Like, he didn't want anything from it. And apparently his wife, wanted to divorce him over that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Let's get back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Sharpie is up next. What's up, Sharpie?
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Did you think that our game plan, our defensive game plan against Pitt was good? I mean, I really liked all those blitzing linebackers and defensive backs and bringing them, you know, like one at a time. You don't know who's coming on a blitz. And that Wesley Walker hit on Slovis and some of those hits. And what do you guys think about us doing that against all the rest of these good teams that we're playing?
Now, I think that our front seven, I mean, that was the best game plan you could have had for them. And, I mean, it showed with the statistics after the fact. And that's, you know, the fact that we got to the quarterback more times then than we had in the past, I think, 10, 12 years. So, I mean, whatever the game plan was there worked out phenomenally. But the problem that you had against Pittsburgh and kind of the same problem against Florida is your secondary broke down so much because, you know, there was that one long run that I think Bartholomew had on us against Pittsburgh.
Abacaneda, or however you say his name.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm talking about the wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, he hurdled.
The tight end or receiver that hurdled over us and went for like 70 yards. Now, yeah, I would say that the front seven, you know, your defensive line, your linebackers, I think the game plan there was perfect. Couldn't have painted a better picture there. But, I mean, the biggest problem is our secondary, and that showed against Florida.
Well, I know, but I'm thinking we're going to have problems in our secondary no matter what we do.
Right.
Right.
But if we run that Pitt game plan, we can take these quarterbacks out, and even if we don't take them out, they're going to get so many hits that it's going to affect them as the game goes on. I mean, we basically took both their quarterbacks out, if you think about it, those Pitt quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we knocked Keaton Slovis completely out of the game, and then Nick Patty, I mean, he was hobbling on one leg the entire second half.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But yeah, I think you just keep doing that, get pressure to the quarterbacks. Now, of course, you're going to run into – I don't know if you'll run into another Anthony Richardson. I mean, he's just kind of a freak athlete, was able to elude the pressure and stuff like that, but you still got to him.
Yep.
And I think going forward, probably see some of the same.
All right. Love the show. See ya.
Appreciate it, Sharpie. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. So we figured out why Myles Garrett wrecked his car.
Reckless driving.
Yep. Coming from Jake Trotter at ESPN, Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett was issued a citation for failure to control his motor vehicle in the wake of Monday's single car crash, according to the Ohio State Highway Patrol. So Garrett was also traveling at an unsafe speed for the type of roadway he was on, which contributed to the accident, the Highway Patrol said. According to the crash report released to ESPN, Garrett was driving 65 in a 45. Star pass rusher suffered a left shoulder sprain and right bicep strain, as well as cuts and bruises after his vehicle went off the side of the road and flipped over. He also complained of pain in his right hand while speaking with officers, according to the body cam footage that was provided. Oh, man. He will not practice today. Did not practice today. But they're not ruling him out for Sunday's game.
I get you're built like the Hulk, but...
You're not the Hulk.
Slow down.
Yeah. Oh, man. So you got a chance to look up my guy I don't like.
Gosh.
What do you think? Zach Hample.
This guy's a clown. The first video from last night's game, he went to batting practice, like hours and hours before the game actually started, just to catch like foul balls that were hitting batting practice. Like, and There's another video he posted last week. He got his 12,000th baseball signed by Michael Pena on the Rockies. What? Why do you need 12,000 baseballs?
You don't. 12,000 baseballs. That's 12,000 baseballs that he has robbed other people of because he leaves his seat. And if you watch the videos, I don't know if you've seen them yet, he will jump over people, knock people down to get these baseballs.
Does this guy have an actual job, or is this just YouTube? And
I think he literally just does YouTube and chases baseballs.
I mean, good for him.
I wish I could do that for a living.
Yeah, but I also don't want to be just a complete clown and a jerk to everybody to catch a baseball at a game. I mean, like, I thought about that. I think when I was younger, like, that's what you, like, I got the same thing happened to me. Some jerk took my ball, but, like, those are, like, things I still remember. I'm 21 now. I still remember some guy stealing the baseball from me. Like, do you really want to do that to a little kid?
Some people do. I don't know. Well, I mean, in that case, I mean, number one, I want to have a life, a real one.
And a real job.
A real job. And girlfriend slash fiance slash wife.
I'm sure he's still in the market, ladies.
Oh, Lordy. That's like off the clearance rack.
Gosh.
Like, not just went on clearance. I mean, it's on the clearance rack, and it has been on the clearance rack for years and years and years.
There's definitely a hoarder out there for him that just, like, keeps, because, dude, where do you think he keeps all these balls at?
They're all in his house.
In his garage? Like, where do you keep 12,000 baseballs?
There was a video I saw, like, he's got them all at his house, like his special ones he's got, like, on the wall in his house, and it's just a wall covered in baseballs.
Gosh. I hope he has an earthquake and just all the balls just come rolling down and going across the whole house, and he has to pick them up and take hours.
Earthquakes are no joke, man. When I worked at a liquor store, we had one in it happened in, like, Union County or whatever, and we felt the effects of it. I didn't know what was going on, and then I just see all the bottles on the wall just rattling. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, here we go.
Earthquakes happen in East Tennessee?
Very rarely. They're not usually big, but they happen.
I don't think I've ever I mean, there has been some in Memphis, but I've never, like, I didn't even notice, so it's not too significant.
Like, the thing is, like, there was one that nobody really noticed when I was a senior in high school, and then this one happened. It had been 2018 or 2019, but it was just enough to make me realize it was there.
Like, just compare, like, when I think of earthquake, I think of, like, in the movies, you know, where the whole building's shaking and people are, like, climbing under the desk and freaking out, but in reality, it's not that big.
You ever seen the video of Judge Judy? They're doing a live show.
Not a big Judge Judy guy.
Well, neither am I. This clip made its rounds, and it happened, like, while they were filming. You just see everybody going out of there. Oh, my goodness. Are we
back on the Jalen Daniels hype train?
Oh, my goodness.
Kansas Jayhawks.
You would have told me that yesterday. They are an underdog this weekend against Iowa State.
Deservedly so.
But do you take the Kansas money line?
No. Screw them.
You don't take the Kansas money line?
No.
I think, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, this is rigged for Tennessee because of TV. It's rigged for rating. It's rigged for this. Maybe it's rigged for Kansas. Maybe it is.
This will never happen, but I hope they end up in a good bowl game and we end up playing them, because I would love to see that slaughter fest. I really would.
Tennessee, Kansas, the Sugar Bowl.
I like the sound of it.
I would definitely make the trip for that, just to watch us go down there and obliterate them in the Superdome.
You know, I've heard, according to old stories, that Kansas was, like, number one or number two. Like, not very long ago, like, 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah, they were a decent football program there for a minute. And then there towards the end of Biggin's career, it got really, really rocky.
Yeah, see, this was, like, before I was even young enough to remember. Let's see. So, Mark Mangino?
Yes.
That's the guy.
Look up a picture of him.
Yeah, he's a big one. 2007, they went 12-1, 7-1 in the conference, and won the Orange Bowl.
Oh my goodness! You know, he's the type of guy that goes through the drive-through, and he has no drive-through etiquette. He's the guy that sits there at the drive-through menu for 20 minutes trying to figure out what he wants. At a simple place like McDonald's, where you always know what you want before you even go through the drive-through.
The worst.
That's why I've started doing curbside pickup, man.
Oh, yeah.
That way you just put in your number, you order what you want on the app, boom, there it is. You don't have to wait on people like that.
That is the one good thing I think that's come out of COVID, because that wasn't a thing before COVID, and now...
Was it not?
No. Not at Chick-fil-A, at least. That's right. That's where I get my curbside. Because they...
We know you're going to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, because during COVID, they only offered drive-through and curbside, because you couldn't go in the restaurant. Yeah, but I'm glad they kept that around. It's way quicker, in my opinion, than sending that long line all the way backed up onto Kingston Pike.
Something else I guess we need to hit on is Cedric Tillman underwent tightrope surgery. Did you know that?
Excuse me?
Cedric Tillman underwent tightrope surgery on his left ankle early last week with the hopes of not being out an extended period of time. Of course, he missed the Florida game. And, of course, we know that he got hurt in the Akron game. And Heupel was not asked specifically if Tillman had surgery when he spoke to the media yesterday. He said, obviously, we're a long way away from game time, referencing LSU. We're hopeful that he will continue to make progress and be available when we go down there. It's the same procedure that Tua had.
Yep.
He had it twice while he was at Alabama.
I'm looking at it now, and you remember Tua, he came back and he got hurt again. Like,
yeah.
This was like a recurring thing. So I don't know if – honestly, gut feeling after you tell me that, I don't think we'll see him at LSU.
I don't think so, and it kind of looked that way, Saturday when you're watching the game. You see after him in the boot and kind of hobbling. And I was like, he ain't even going to be back for LSU. And he might not be back for Bama.
That's why I was so mad during the Akron game. When he got hit first, it was unintentionally. It was by his own man when he ran. I think it was Small or Wright. Maybe it was Sampson that ran it in. On the north side of the end zone. And he like dead-legged Tillman, got him from underneath. I was like, dude, just take him out then. I mean, at that point, it was like a 21-point game. And then the second time, I was like, I knew it. I was like, he's out. I was like, I thought he tore his ACL. I was like, he's out for the year.
I mean, I hate that we keep going back to games that we've already played and we're not looking forward. But, you know, Akron, when you really go back and watch the replay, they really were a dirty bunch.
Bunch of dirty SOBs.
Oh, well, I guess they're still mad about the Rubber Bowl. The only stadium in America that probably... No, you can't demolish the Astrodome. You can't demolish it.
At least the Astrodome has some history, and it's actually a somewhat decent stadium, not just built into the side of some hill.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing. Is like the freeway that it's holding up, if they were to tear that stadium down, that entire roadway is collapsing.
Yeah.
Gosh. I want to know whose idea it was to put a road or a stadium, however it went, to where those two support each other.
Classic Ohio.
That's all you can say about that. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, overtime continues. Had me a good lunch today, man. A really good lunch.
What did you get?
I guess a late lunch. I went to your spot for lunch, but then I went over before the show. I was still a little bit hungry. I was like, a little hungry. What do I want? I went over, saw our good friends at Naf Naf. Got the build your own pita with chicken, cabbage, onions, garlic sauce. Switched it up. Didn't get the spicy red sauce, but I got the green sauce, which
still banging.
Oh, buddy. It is Jake. buddy. It's fantastic. That is one of the best taglines that Adam and I ever came up with. And the thing is, like, I wrote it out, and he just said it in a cadence that was just perfect.
Commercial, I laugh every time it comes on. Funny dudes.
Which one?
Y'all are both funny dudes, man.
It's a great commercial. It's a great sponsor. Check them out, 6485 Kingston Pike. Support the Orange and White. Cheer on the Orange and White by supporting the Orange and White at Naff Naff Grill. So here's a question that I want to pose not only to you and to myself, but our audience as well. And the reason I'm bringing it up now is there's going to be so many of these, whether you saw it live or not, that come to mind. Describe the most bizarre college football moment you've ever witnessed.
In person or just on TV, anywhere?
We'll do both. The most bizarre thing I ever witnessed in person, 2010 Music City Bowl. Either that or Ole Miss last year. The 2010 Music City Bowl. North Carolina runs out. They had 12 or 13 guys on the field. It's like, oh my goodness, we're going to win in a way that we lost earlier in the year. The referee said the game is over. When the referee says the game is over, guess what?
The game is over.
His jurisdiction ends. Apparently not, because we end up going on to lose that game in double overtime.
It doesn't apply to us. None of it does.
No.
Yeah.
Which now there's rules in place. Like, you have the Derek Dooley rule now because of that. After it happened twice.
In one season, by the way.
Yeah, in one season.
There's like probably 0.00001% chance of that happening, even once. I mean, twice is just doesn't even seem possible. But I was there with Jake. I was in person at the Music City Bowl in 2010. That was very bizarre. But I think my most bizarre is probably in person is probably Ole Miss last year. Just the whole last, what was that? 2 minutes of that ball game, game clock lasting about an hour. Just what happened. And the crazy thing is, I think he threw it to Warren on that like 3rd and 26. Hooker did.
4th and 26, yeah.
Sorry, 4th. Mm-hmm. I thought he got the first down from where I was sitting.
Well, the thing is, like, they only had two cameras, and neither one of them can give a clear representation of it.
That was my thing, man. You got a big marquee game like that. Weren't we on SEC Network?
Yeah, we were on the SEC Network for that game.
What is the problem? What is on prime time? But
I don't remember who was, but it was...
I know Jordan Rodgers was doing our game.
Well, and the funny thing about that game is it's the same official, Mark Curlis, whatever his name is, that was the official down at LSU in 2010.
He can go to hell.
Absolutely.
But...
part-time official, full-time jackass.
Yeah, even after that call, like, me personally, I thought the game was over, and I was furious, and the rest of the stadium was too. But, I mean, man, we still had a shot in that game, even after all that, even after throwing the stuff on the field, which was warranted and deserved and loved it.
Clutch them pearls some more.
But it was so weird just seeing stuff thrown. Like, there were people throwing it from the upper deck. Like,
yeah, I never – I take it back. It was happening at the Music City Bowl. That was
10 times more dangerous than what happened.
Oh, yeah, because
year.
They were throwing aluminum bottles that were half full. I mean, someone could have really got knocked out because of that.
You throw that thing from the top deck at Nissan Stadium and hit somebody in the head, like, you're dead.
Well, I mean, you got to think Neyland kind of goes out. Nissan goes up.
Yeah, straight up and down. So you have like
– a lot more velocity.
Yeah, and there's a lot shorter distance because of the way it's designed at Nissan than you do Neyland. But, yeah, man, it's – and the way we got the ball back, because I didn't think Lane was going to run it three times. I thought he was going to kill us and get a first down and end the game. But when he ran it three times, I'm like, we got a chance here.
Oh, they were going to get us, and then Corral slipped.
Yeah, and I was like, we got a chance here. So when – I think – screw all that. The most bizarre thing about that game was Joe Milton running, and then just running out of bounds with 0 seconds left. He didn't even attempt a pass.
The funniest thing about that was Russell's video that he did live. And you just hear Russell talking. It's like, all right, Joe Milton, last play. Are you kidding me?
That wasn't my reaction, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that was
a lot of expletives that we cannot say on the radio were said around me, and yeah, no.
Now that was, I'll say that one was probably more hostile than the 2010 Music City Bowl because
by far, you weren't safe if you were an Ole Miss fan. My buddy, he was an Ole Miss fan. He was up there for the weekend. We're still like close friends, but he had he broke his jaw, so like he couldn't talk. He had his mouth shut, and we were with him. We were walking back from the game, and he was wearing an Ole Miss powder blue jersey, and he almost got jumped. These five guys came up to him and started like getting around him. I was with him, like, chill, like, just relax here. But
well, it didn't help him that other Ole Miss fans were chirping pretty loud. Like, that's the thing about the 2010 Music City Bowl is not a lot of North Carolina fans were running their mouth after that because they knew what just happened.
No, yeah, he's a little bit of a chirper, but like I said, his jaw was shut. He couldn't talk. So I was like trying to defend him, like, this dude can't talk, like. And he fell out of a bunk bed too. It's not like he got in a fight. He fell out of his bunk bed, the top bunk, when he was sleeping. That's how he broke it. Pretty wild way to go out.
That is pretty wild. Now I will say this: like, you had a lot of Ole Miss fans, really talking a lot of crap after that game, and even in the fourth quarter, it's like, what are y'all clapping about? Like, yeah, this was a great game, but look at what you all did. You all got 29 free injury timeouts. We didn't get to establish any tempo. Nobody could establish tempo. You know, we started doing it as well.
After they did it, by the way.
I mean, the thing is, that game went on for what?
Five hours? Five, yes.
Jeez.
And I have a little, it's like a plane tracker. I tracked their plane, Ole Miss's plane.
Yeah.
By the time I could even get, last year I lived like right across from the pilot on Cumberland.
Yeah.
And by the time I could even walk to the car, get in the car, leave the garage, and go back to my apartment, which is about, all in all, that takes about 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
They were at the airport already.
Really?
By the time I even got back. They were gone. They knew they stole it.
It's like, yeah, let's get on out of here. But I just don't – that would have never happened if that was a noon game. Because you got to think, noon game, they're setting it up to be done with the game by about 3:30, 4 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
That would have went on until 5:30. Like, you would have been pushing, like, one game, you're not even getting to see the first half, maybe more.
I think it was about, what time, like 1 a.m. when it finished? That's what it felt like.
It was a 7 o'clock kickoff.
5 hours.
I think we finally left the stadium at about 12:30.
Yeah. And that was about 1 a.m. It's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is there – we're selling beer, but not everybody can afford the beer. So by the time that game's over, everybody's just about lost their buzz and hung over.
And don't they stop selling after the third quarter ends?
Yeah.
So fourth quarter, the last 2 minutes lasted an hour almost.
Yeah, you gave everybody just enough time to sober up and get mad, like a hangover mad. You don't want to be anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
That's probably the most bizarre, though, the Music City Bowl and Ole Miss. Those are the most bizarre that I've seen in person. I'm trying to think of any others. I can't really, right off the top of my head. Now, a lot of people were at that 2000 Florida game.
Refresh my memory. I was not born yet.
So Tennessee's up 23-20. About 15 seconds left.
Oh,
Jabbar Gaffney.
The Jabbar. That was not a catch. I've seen the replays. It's not a catch.
No. He had it in his hand for maybe a second. I don't even know if he actually ever
nowhere near continuation at all or possession.
No. Did you know that the person that made that call has not officiated a game in Knoxville ever since?
Doesn't deserve to officiate a game anywhere.
You're not wrong. I mean, that's the thing with a lot of these guys is if they make such a bad call that they anger a fan base that mad, they will just tell them, like, listen, you're not calling a game here ever again.
I hope have we seen Curlis this year anywhere? Have you?
No.
I haven't either.
I don't want to see him.
I wonder where he is.
That guy's the bane of my existence. I can't stand that guy.
I looked him up. He works in Birmingham. Go figure.
Hey, he's a financial advisor, isn't he?
Yep, he is.
Yeah.
Stick to that, man. You're making good money, clearly, if you're a financial advisor. Good job, good money, so stay out of it.
Yeah, he needs to stay in Birmingham and never leave his office or his house unless he is going to the grocery store to get gas. Stay with us. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two of overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.